Tradition here in this church that we just go verse by verse through the Bible and the teachings in the mornings. They do that on Thursdays here, I believe, and also on Sunday nights. So, and then there's a sermon in the afternoon on Sundays. So there's a lot of Word of God that comes out of this place, and praise the Lord for that. I mean, we were just talking, Brother Brian, right? They don't have this everywhere. I mean, he's up in Portage, and it's scarce. Yeah, it's hard to find. It really is. And praise the Lord, because what a great blessing it is. So we'll go ahead and pray, and then we're going to get into the lesson. And we left off last week. We ended in verse 12. So we'll go ahead and pray and get into this lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and thank you for a copy of them, Lord. Without them, we'd be lost, and we'd be dying and perishing, Lord, and we would perish in the end. And we're just so grateful for your grace, and thank you, Lord, for it. And now we pray, Lord, that our eyes and our ears and our heart would be tender towards your words this morning. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right. As I was saying last week, we ended in verse 12, and I'll go ahead and read that. The Bible says, "These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." Who are these people? These people are the same people found in verse 4. "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." And so what Jude has been doing here is he's painting a picture. He's painted a picture of about an unsaved man here in verse 12. And if that wasn't enough, we find he goes on in verse 13. The Bible says, "Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame." And so here Jude is, he's going to throw a little bit more paint on that picture. He throws a little bit more paint on an unsaved man's life. Look, if you would, in Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. The Bible says, verse 20, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." I don't know if you guys have ever walked on a beach after a storm, but you can go up and walk on the beach at Lake Michigan, and there's a lot of garbage on the beach, folks. And it's filthy. It's filthy dirty. And there's muck, and that water has churned it all up and brought it out to the surface. And that's what the wicked are like. That's what the unsaved man is like. The unsaved woman, that's what they're like. And what they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the only one that can clean up their lives. He's the only one. And he's the only one, and we see this in the Gospels, that can calm the troubled seas at a moment just by speaking a word. All they have to do is believe it. And the problem with man is they just don't want to believe the Word of God. They don't want to believe it. And the unsaved, folks, not only that, he throws more paint. Not only are they like the troubled sea, and they're dirty, which were some of us. If you are saved today, you were dirty, and you're made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we need to keep that in our minds as Jude is talking about this unsaved person. Because they're out there, and they're going to come across our paths. And we either are going to just look the other way and let them die and let them perish, or we're going to have compassion on them, or we're going to, you know, try to do something to help this person so that they don't perish. But anyway, They're not only like the troubled sea, but the Bible says they're wandering stars. They're wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And the unsaved person, folks, is no different. Is no different than the angels that left their first estate. There's no difference. And they're reserved in darkness to this day, until the day of judgment, till the Lord lets them loose for a short period. But their end is everlasting darkness. It's everlasting darkness. They both, the unsaved man and that angel that left his first estate, they both end up in the lake of fire, and they both get blackness and darkness forever. So what's the difference between a wandering star, somebody, an angel that's left its first estate, and an unsaved man? There is no difference, folks. The end is the same for both of them. And look, if you would, in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, 13. The Bible says, "Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing, weeping and gnashing of teeth." There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again in Matthew 25, a couple pages over, verse 30. The Bible says, verse 29, "For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Weeping and gnashing of teeth. The unprofitable ones are those that have not put on Jesus Christ. And they're going to find their part. The part that they are ordained to. Jude 4, into the lake of fire. And folks, there's no light in this lake of fire. None. It's outer darkness. It's outer darkness. It's a place prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what it was prepared for. It was never meant for a human being to go there. For the devil and his angels, the ones that rebelled against God. Matthew 25, verse 41. The Bible says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." This isn't hell, even though hell could have been. This is the lake of fire, folks. This is the lake of fire. It's everlasting. It's everlasting. And so, again, you find in Revelation 20, if you go there, Revelation 20:10, that one day, that's where the devil ends up. That's where he ends up. Verse 10. The Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And that's where an unsaved man goes. That's his end. That's his end. Now, why it is that there are some people out there, folks, and you see them, you go down to Purdue, or you go out on the street and you do any amount of street preaching, you're going to see somebody give you the devil horn signs with their hand. I don't even know how to do that, but they're going to give that sign up in the air, put two fingers up or whatever it is, and say, "The devil rules. The devil rules." They will. They will. And then you talk to them about the devil a little bit, and you say, "You really want to do that?" "Well, I want to party when I die. I want to go and have everlasting party." And that's the way it's going to be. Folks, I don't understand that, but the only thing I can say is they have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea. Jude says that, look at what it says. They don't know. They don't know any different. Jude 10. But these speak evil. These are the unsaved people. They speak evil of the things which they know not. There's no parties in hell, folks. And especially not in the lake of fire. There may be a party in hell for tormenting you while for a short amount of time, but not on your part. On the devil's part, maybe he's going to have a party doing that. But in the lake of fire, there's no party for anybody there. Nobody gets a benefit out of your suffering there, except you. And that's not a benefit. But they don't know what the Bible says about eternity. They don't know what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. They don't know what the Bible says about those who die without Christ. They haven't got a clue. And folks, if they get themselves in a place that has fire and brimstone and forever darkness, that's all they're ever going to get. They're never going to see themselves anymore. They're never going to be able to look in the mirror and say, "Ooh, look at this. Look at what I'm doing in life." Never again. They never get to see themselves, and they never get to see anybody else. It's forever darkness. It's forever darkness, and it's for eternity. Now, how in the world do they get a party from that? How can you get a party out of that? You can't. And so Jude, he paints a pretty good picture about an unsaved man and about his end and where he ends up. Verse 14. The Bible says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these. Of what? Of these people that are going to die. They're going to die and go to hell, and then they're going to go into the lake of fire. Unsaved people. He prophesied of them. And Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." 10,000 of his saints. And folks, the greatest doctrine in the Bible, the greatest one, is it's about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Enoch prophesied about it. He prophesied about it. And here in the book of Jude, it's the only record that he prophesied about anything at the end of the Bible. Close to it. You got Revelation, of course, but real close to the end of the Bible, you find out Enoch prophesied about something. And it's just an amazing thing. And it's recorded here. Now, Enoch, he shows up in the book of Genesis. Go with me, if you would, to Genesis 5:18. Genesis 5:18. Let's see if this is where he shows up. I have a problem sometimes. I write down the wrong verses. My eyes just get blurred or something, I don't know. But the Bible says in Jared, verse 18, "And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." So here he shows up in the book of Genesis, all the way at the beginning of the Bible, pretty close to the beginning, and he shows up again pretty close to the end of the Bible. pretty amazing. And here in Genesis, you find that Enoch had a wife. He had a wife. Doesn't say he did, but why did Adam have a wife? To procreate, right? And so Enoch had a wife that bare him a son. And I don't know where her name is in the Bible. Does anybody know? Because I haven't got a clue. But she's there somewhere, because Enoch wasn't married to a man. He wasn't, because men can't procreate. So somewhere along the lines, this woman is somewhere in this guy's life. But he bare him a son at about 65 years old, the Bible says. And the Bible is silent about this relationship between Enoch and his wife. And not only that, but it's silent about his relationship with God and Enoch. There's no record that he had a relationship with Enoch before until after he had a Methuselah. Till after. But we do know that Enoch walked with God after he had Methuselah for 300 years. For 300 years. And then this guy disappears. Nobody can find him. Nobody can find him. But here's something else we know. Look, if you would, in verse 18, and Enoch lives, verse 21, and Enoch lived, Genesis 5:21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. So this woman's still around in his life. Right? And he's still walking with God while he's having children on the earth. So he's got time. Folks, those who say that they don't have any time for God because they got five kids, don't want to hear it. Here's Enoch. Don't want to hear it. Okay? But here's another thing we know about Enoch, is that he was in agreement with God. He was in agreement with God. About some things. Look, if you would, to Amos 3:3. I gave you that one first so you could get there before me. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can they? No. And so Enoch is in agreement with God. God isn't in agreement with Enoch. Enoch is in agreement with God. And then God is in agreement with Enoch after he is in agreement with God. It's the only way you can be in agreement with God is to agree with what he says. And then he can agree with you. Because you know what he says. He knows, you know what he wants. You know what he says. Okay? And so can they walk together? They can't. They can't. And so there were some things that Enoch was in agreement with God about. One of which was that God was the creator. He was the creator. Folks, there is in every person some truth that God has given them about himself to show that he exists. And it's only when a man chooses not to give God that glory that is due him. It's due him. And when they become unthankful, that they get a darkened heart. Romans 1. Romans 1. And that is at the moment that a man disagrees with God. And what does God do? He gives that person over to their imaginations. Look in Romans 1. That he gives them up to what they want to think, folks. 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and changed the glory of an uncorrupted God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to the birds, and the four-footed beasts, and the creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up. To what? To what they wanted to imagine. Right? And that's how God is. He will give you the desire of your heart. So be careful what you desire. Be careful what you desire. But Enoch, he was in agreement with God, with the truth that was manifest in him, and God showed him. He showed him, and old Enoch, he glorified God. He did. You know he did. You know he did, because the Bible says if he didn't, this is where he would end up. So you know he did. And he was thankful to God for showing him this stuff, showing him the truth. And what was Enoch doing? He was listening, folks. He was listening. He was listening when the heavens declared God's righteousness. It declared his righteousness. Psalm 97. Psalm 97. Verse 6. The heavens declare God's righteousness. Do we believe it? The Bible says, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Are we listening? Is the unsaved man listening? Can he look up in the sky and see that God is righteous? Can an unsaved man see that this just didn't happen by a big bang? It didn't, folks. It didn't happen by a big bang. And things didn't evolve from nowhere or from that little amoeba after the big bang. It didn't evolve. No, Enoch didn't say that. Enoch said, hey, there's somebody up there that created everything, and he's righteous. He's righteous. And I need to find out what I need to do to please that righteous God. That's what Enoch did. That's what he did. And why? Because he's not righteous. Hey, do you know how you know you're not righteous? Do you know how you know? Try to speak a universe into creation, folks, and you're going to find out just how righteous you are. Right? Isn't that what Job, he thought he was righteous, right? And what happened when God started talking to him and asking him questions about, hey, can you do this? Can you do this? Do you know this? Do you know this? Job 42. You know what Job said? When God showed him all the things that he couldn't do? I abhor myself. Job. Job 42:6. Here he is. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. In verse 40, you know what he says? Or chapter 40, verse 3. He says, I am vile. I'm unclean. That's what he's saying. He says in 40, verse 3, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer yet twice, but I will proceed no further. God only had to show him a little bit about what he created. And here's Job saying, I'm an unrighteous man. I'm no good. I'm no good. And so if you can't do what God can do, well, then you better be in agreement with him. Or deep trouble, folks. Deep trouble's coming. But look at Enoch did this. Look at he got on God's side. Hebrews 11. He found out, he saw the righteousness of God by what he created, and he went looking for him. Hebrews 11, book of faith there. Verse 5. The Bible says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. And we'll look at the very next verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe what first that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what he did. He sought after God. He believed that God was and went looking for him. And in the process, a little bit more light. A little bit more light. A little bit more truth. And what did he do? He kept believing it. He kept believing it. He had the right idea, folks. Hey, if you can't beat God, if you can't speak a universe into creation, you might as well join him. You might as well join him. He Enoch, he believed that God is, and he sought after him diligently, And God rewarded him. Why? Because he believed. Because he had faith. And when God spoke, Enoch not only listened with his ears, and he not only saw with his eyes, hey, God may not have even spoke a word to him, but he was believing that he was the creator. Right? And he was believing with his ear, believing with his eyes, believing with his ears. Not only that, he was believing with his heart. And that's the key, folks, to believe with your heart. Hey, do you know why we have a Bible today? You want to know why? Because God found men that believed his words. And he got to write them down in a book. And it was a progression all the way up until... And look at what we have today. We have a copy of everything that God wants us to know about. All because there was men that believed what he said. Believed what he said. And he kept giving them more. And he kept giving them more. And they may not have understood it. And we know that they didn't. The Old Testament prophet, they didn't understand what they were saying half the time. But they said it and they believed it. And there it is, written in the book that we can read today. And so, here, did Enoch have any information about the church age? Did he know about it? I don't think he did. Did he know about the rapture? He knew about his rapture because he was gone. But did he know about our rapture? Don't think he did. Not only did Enoch know about the saints coming back, right? Moses knew. Moses knew. Look, if you would, in Deuteronomy. Moses prophesied. Enoch prophesied of this in Genesis, somewhere between his life and Moses' life. And then Moses, he does the same thing. Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy 33. Verse 1. The Bible says, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shineth forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of his saints. Did this happen there? No, this is a prophecy, folks, about what is going to happen. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yes, he loved that. He loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. When's that going to happen? That's going to happen in the millennium. Millennium. So Moses, he prophesies of this. Again, in there's another prophecy in the Psalms. Psalms 50. Psalms 50, verse 1. The Bible says, the mighty God, even the Lord, had spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun and the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very temperate round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. You know how you make a covenant with the Lord Jesus or with God? The sacrifice of his son. That's the only way, folks. And the people in the Old Testament, they were doing that, right? They were doing that by their sacrifices. It was like a similitude type deal. And they didn't get counted for it until Christ died. But then he counted it to them. Counted it to them. But here's the thing. The Jew, they knew of a general resurrection. They knew of a general resurrection of the dead. He didn't see the second coming, folks. He just knew of a general resurrection and the coming of their Messiah. Right? And he didn't see that there was a church age. Look, if you would, in John. Here's a woman in John. She knew of the general resurrection. Her name was Martha. John 11, starting 21. John 11, 21. The Bible says, then saith Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. This is the story with Lazarus. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saying to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Here's Martha. She knew about a general resurrection. She knew about one. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so Martha is, she's looking at a final resurrection. And she doesn't know that there's more than one. She doesn't know that. And neither did the Jew. And they had the prophets, to tell them about this resurrection, so they knew that it was there. And but Jesus is trying to tell her, hey, there's another resurrection. There's another one. And but Martha passes it off. Look, if you would, in verse 27. She said to them, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called the spiritual Mary. Martha was always cumbered about with the things of the house. And Jesus is talking to her about some spiritual things. And what does she do? She goes and gets Mary so she can understand what Jesus is saying. Martha, she just worked in the house. Mary was the spiritual one. But folks, without the New Testament, the Jew knew, he knew of a general resurrection. He knew he was going to be resurrected, but he didn't know of anything else. And so when Jesus shows up, not with his mighty angels and not with 10,000 saints, and he doesn't take this kingdom over, they kill him. They kill him. They didn't see the suffering part of Jesus' life, even though it was there in the Old Testament. They only saw him coming and taking this kingdom. All right? And that's why they rejected him. They forgot about those parts of the Bible. They didn't believe them about the suffering before glory. And later on, it's revealed to Paul, and Paul reveals them in the New Testament to us. Okay? And so that kind of stuff wasn't revealed at that time, but it is today. Jude verse 15. What is he prophesying? To execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch knows. God has showed him something. He knows about 2 Thessalonians, folks. He knows that all unbelievers, all of them, will be completely annihilated from the face of this earth when the Lord comes back with saints. He knows that. Look what he says. To execute judgment upon all. All. Not this guy over here that doesn't believe, but this guy, he gets a pass even though he didn't believe just because he made it to the end. No, that's not how that works, folks. If that guy's alive at the end when Jesus comes back, he's judged. Hell, he goes in the lake of fire later. And so in that day, look if you would in 2 Thessalonians, there's a day coming. 2 Thessalonians, verse 10. We'll start verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So there's, they're judged and they're punished. This is what happens to them. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. There's the saints, shows up. And to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed. In that day, there's all believers. They're going to admire the Lord. They're going to admire him. And why? Because when you see what the Lord does to those that didn't believe, You're going to be glad that you did. You're going to be glad that you did. And you're going to realize at that point what you got out of. Everlasting destruction. And so Enoch, he prophesied of this judgment to come at the Lord's, about the Lord's second coming. He warned the people, folks. And not only did he warn the people, Moses warned the people. Not only did Moses warn the people, we see in 2 Thessalonians, Paul warns the people. There's no excuse, folks. The warnings have been given in all ages. This is happening. And if the Lord comes back today, there's at least six and somewhat years left, right? He's going to execute judgment on all those that believe not. Today is the day that you want to believe. You do not want to be caught up in this mess that's coming to the unbelievers that Jude talks about. All right? We'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And thank you for the warnings, Lord, and the continual warnings. And not only that, but the escape route. Thank you for the escape route. You've given us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is believe. And we're escaping this judgment. We're thankful for that, Lord. And we pray that if there's any that haven't done that they would. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.